You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And a happy early Thanksgiving, everybody. Matt Derry with you. It is Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network on this Wednesday, November 25th, and Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 26th. And it's a crossover Wednesday. Cody Davis, the host of Locked On Texans, one of the co-hosts, is going to join me momentarily to talk about Detroit and Houston. Thanksgiving Day coming up tomorrow. A little bit of a different format for today. We're going to get to the crossover pretty early. I want to say this. First of all, thank you to everybody that's been listening and following us this past year. The show's been humming. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. I know the season's been horrible. I know the last couple of days, all I've really been talking about is the future. The other day, Monday, I talked about getting Lewis Riddick in here. Yesterday, I told you, some sources telling me Bob Quinn's not going anywhere. And we'll do a post-game show tomorrow following the Lions and Texans game. But I want to say happy Thanksgiving to the listeners, and I want to tell everybody that I appreciate your support. Following us on Twitter, which you do every day, at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, and also checking us out on the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Many of you have been chiming in over the last few days. Many of you are angry, and I completely understand that. This has been a frustrating, frustrating year. And Sunday's game against Carolina, quite honestly, was as ugly a football game as you'll see. It was not a lot of fun. And now here on Thanksgiving, here's my message before we get to the crossover. Here's where I want to go. I can tell you about injuries. We could talk about if Galladay's playing or Swift is playing. Here's the bottom line with today. You're going to hear a lot of negativity over the next 24 hours. If you're on social media, once the game starts tomorrow, and Jim Nantz, hello friends, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo and Tracy Wolfson are calling this game, you know what you're going to see from your out-of-town friends, from some of your local friends. Why are the Lions ruining my Thanksgiving? Why are the Lions on again? When are they going to take the Lions off Thanksgiving? I'm tired of watching the Lions on Thanksgiving. Try to ignore that as best you can. All right, we all know about the history. We all know about the one playoff win since 1957. We know about rebuilding since 1957. We know about the Ford family. All of these things. And what you don't need to be reminded about tomorrow is that someone thinks your tradition should be taken away. The Detroit Lions playing on Thanksgiving is tradition. It's what we've got here. It's all we've got here sometimes. And is it going to be weird not being down at the game or tailgating or whatever routine you had has probably changed because of the coronavirus pandemic. But what hasn't changed is the team stinks, which sucks, and some of your snarky friends and some of these snarky people that you follow on social media are going to take their shots at the Lions tomorrow. Ignore it. Try to ignore it. Try to enjoy the fact that the fellas are on national television, and it's their one shot. And because the team isn't playing well, they're likely not going to be flexed anytime soon to any big spots or, Sunday night games on NBC or anything like that. And again, that's disappointing. And that's on Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, who have put this mess on the plate and forced you to eat it every Sunday. But I am one who grew up in Cleveland, who never had a skin in the game for the Detroit Lions until I was moved here in August of 1996, until I was 22 years old. 23 years old, if I could do the math. The Detroit Lions are a Thanksgiving tradition. It's tradition to watch the Lions at 12:30 and the Cowboys at 4. And I don't think that should be taken away from you. And there's so many things that have been taken away when it comes to tradition and classic moments that are no longer around in sports. This is one, I'm sorry, anybody that wants to argue, oh, it's time to take the Lions off Thanksgiving. No, it's not. The Lions playing the early game, the Cowboys playing the late game, is a part of Americana. It's a part of our tradition, NFL tradition, national football tradition. And no matter if the Lions are bad, which is normal, or really bad and really unwatchable, that dome, whether it's the Silver Dome, whether it's Ford Field, that dome is in the spotlight for the early game tomorrow. Don't listen to the haters. I, for one, am one who believes the Detroit Lions should always be playing on Thanksgiving and hosting that early game. And then Dallas hosts the late game. I love it. I think it's the one thing we got. So look forward to tomorrow. Try to have fun. If you're a diehard fan and you're still rooting for them, I hope you get your win. I hope they look good for you so that some of the people that have not watched a single game all year that are forced to watch because it's Thanksgiving and there's nothing else on, you get to see something. That is my hope. So that's all I got. We're going to talk to Cody Davis next. From Locked On Texans, I think the Lions are in trouble having to face Deshaun Watson. We'll dive into that right here on Locked On Lions. All right, it's a Locked On crossover, a special Wednesday edition as the Lions and Texans will be meeting up a Thanksgiving Day. Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. Cody Davis, somebody from Locked On Texans, is with me. What's up, Cody?
What's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm hanging in, brother. Good to hear your voice. I know we talked over the summer a little bit about Houston and Detroit. Cody, I don't think anybody expected these two teams to be this bad. We'll talk about the Lions in a second. What's going on down in Houston?
The question should be, what is not going on? It seems like every time we get a sense of where the future is headed towards this organization, we get bombarded by something else that's just straight up stupid. Going back to last week, Ian Rappaport reported that there is a possibility that Romeo Cannell and Jack Easterby could reclaim their role as head coach and general manager for the 2021 season. And then when we were talking to the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick comes in and say he does not see Jack Easterby as a personnel guy. Then all of a sudden, I find it very odd, an organization who has basically been dying to be just like the New England Patriots, all of a sudden they just decide, you know what, let's just end these rumors now. So, look, the question should be, what is not going on with Houston? That's most likely is an easier question for me to answer.
So we know about the Bill O'Brien experience and the disaster. What was it as bad in terms of the players disliking him as everybody was making it out to be?
The Bill O'Brien experience, it's a variety of ways you could look at this. You know, first and foremost, there was a lot that went wrong with the Bill O'Brien. And the sad part about it is, and the reason why I feel like he's not here, I don't think it has nothing to do with his action on the field as a coach, because if it was, his dismissal would have taken place in January after the Texans blew that 24-0 lead against the Kansas City Chiefs. But when you look at his actions as general manager, yeah, Houston started off the season 0-4, and that is what ultimately led to his demise. But they were winless through those first four games because they were not, and they are still not, a talented team. And the lack of talent that is on this team is Bill O'Brien's fault. Look, Matt, we can sit here and talk about the stupid DeAndre Hopkins trade all day, every day, as long as you like. But O'Brien let a lot of other key guys walk out this door, walk away from this organization, i.e. DJ Reader, who was the starting nose tackle, Tayshaun Gibson. Looking back on it, he might have been Houston's best defensive back, given how terrible the secondary has looked since he left. Last season, Houston didn't have an unstoppable run game, but it was a hell of a lot better than what it is now, and that was with Carlos Hyde. It's almost like when you take a look at him as a general manager. Matt, let's say you have a three-layer cake, and the DeAndre Hopkins trade is the whole entire cake, plus the icing,
yeah,
the cherry on top with sprinkles. But let's just say within that three-layer cake, you have a filling that makes the cake really enjoyable. Inside those fillings, that is the departure of DJ Reader. That is the departure of Tayshaun Gibson, Carlos Hyde, and a bunch of other players that I'm not mentioning right now. It's his actions as general manager. And then the guys that he kept on his team. He gave them these big contracts, and none of these players, maybe outside of Zach Cunningham, is not living up to the contract extension. And, you know, to answer your question about did the players and the organization, did they like him? That one is a little bit hard to answer because I get a split conversation from both sides. You know, after he was fired, I got the sense of a lot of people liked Bill O'Brien as a person.
Yeah.
The few people that I talk to that are, you know, still part of the organization and some people who are not part of the organization, they always talked about how much they liked Bill O'Brien as a person. But the key is they never talked about how much they liked him as a coach or a general manager.
Well, I'll say this, Cody. I wonder, and I've wondered this out loud a couple times, that if Bob Quinn, the Lions general manager, somehow gets to keep his job and fire his buddy, Matt Patricia, would he bring in B.O.B. with those, you know, New England connections? That's another story for another day, but just remember where you heard that in case the Lions do something crazy. Cody Davis, Locked On Texans, with me on the crossover. All right, last thing on Houston before we talk Detroit. You got, so the Texans win last week. Deshaun Watson has a big game, and they beat the Patriots. How's he handling this season, and how good has he played all year?
Look, first and foremost, Deshaun Watson, this is by far the best version of Watson we have seen. And I say that because I know I say this a lot on the Locked On Texans side of things, but when you take a look at Deshaun Watson's season so far this year, I think we are finally starting to see what is the full package of Deshaun Watson. And I say that because under Bill O'Brien, without a doubt, he was still good. But at times I felt O'Brien was holding Deshaun Watson back, trying to make him play more of a traditional style quarterback. And sometimes it was very frustrating. And now under Romeo Cornell, you can see that Cornell has given Watson a lot more freedom. And that is part of the reason why we are starting to get a sense of how great Deshaun Watson could actually be. And all you have to do is just take a look at the first four games of this season versus the last six games. The first four games, Deshaun Watson, we know he is your prototypical mobile quarterback in 2020. The first four games under Bill O'Brien, this man only recorded 58 yards on 17 rushing attempts. Versus the last six games, he has recorded 211 yards on 37 rushing attempts. So it's kind of like under Bill O'Brien, it seems like O'Brien had him on a leash. And now, since O'Brien is gone, that leash is gone, and we are starting to see the true version of Deshaun Watson. But unfortunately, it is coming during a season where you can possibly say this might be one of, if not the most disappointing season in Texans history. Because, yes, we lost DeAndre Hopkins, but no one, even with the loss of Hopkins, no one could have predicted the Texans sitting at 3-7 heading into week 12. And you're talking about a guy, and you're talking about a team who has improved every single year since Watson got here in 2017.
That's the voice of Cody Davis, Locked On Texans, Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. We will flip the script when we come back, talk a little Detroit Lions football. You're listening to the Wednesday crossovers, Thursday crossover, special Wednesday edition on Locked On Lions and Locked On Texans.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Locked On Texans, Locked Over Crossover Edition on a Wednesday. Why is it on a Wednesday? Because this Thursday we have a game between the Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions, a Thanksgiving game. And Matt, let me just tell you, I do not like having the Texans play a primetime game. Why? Because every time they mention the Houston Texans, they're going to talk about the trade of DeAndre Hopkins, and we are tired of hearing about that. But, Matt, going back to this past Sunday, can you talk about how disappointing it was to watch the Detroit Lions lose against the Carolina Panthers in a game in which the Panthers started PJ Walker, a guy who came from the XFL and actually put on the show?
It was unbelievable. And even for Lions standards, where they have a few clunkers every year that are just abysmal losses, this one took the cake. Matt Patricia now is in big trouble. And should be, you know, the record speaks for itself. It's really bad at 13-27-1 to get shut out by an XFL quarterback, to get shut out by a team without Christian McCaffrey, and to lose 20-0 to Carolina that had lost five in a row. It was ugly, and really, you know, nobody did well other than punter Jack Fox, who's become this cult figure in Detroit because he's been great. But other than that, you know, Matt Prater missed a field goal. The offense was terrible. The defense was bad. And yes, there were some injuries. DeAndre Swift didn't play, and Kenny Galladay and Trey Flowers, but no excuse to lose and get shut out by a bad Carolina team.
As you know, outside of last week, the Houston Texans have had a problem stopping the run all season long, and no disrespect to you guys, but it seems like the Texans might not have too much to worry about playing against the Lions, because you guys are ranked towards the bottom of the standings when you talk about running the ball this season. How much has the run game been a disappointment so far this year, especially after acquiring Adrian Peterson this offseason, one of the greatest running backs of all time?
Yeah, you know, look, nobody ever expects the Lions to be in the upper echelon of running the football, because ever since Barry Sanders retired, they just haven't been. They've tried everybody. Ron Rivers, Kevin Smith, Kevin Jones, Reggie Bush, Kerryon Johnson was a high draft pick. They've tried everything. Adrian Peterson, like you mentioned, this year. And now DeAndre Swift, who's a second-round pick, who actually, Cody, has looked good. Questionable whether or not he'll play Thursday due to a concussion. Missed this past weekend. Adrian Peterson looked really good in the opener this year against the Bears. But ever since then, you could tell his best days are way behind him. He's running into the backs of linemen. His vision isn't what it used to be. And then that sets up Matthew Stafford to really have to carry the team on his back. And you take Kenny Galladay, his best receiver, out of the mix, it could be a long day. I think the Lions are always under Daryl Bevel, their offensive coordinator, trying to establish the run. Maybe they go to more of Kerryon Johnson on Thursday. That's possible. But has it been disappointing? Yes. And the offensive line has actually improved. Taylor Decker is coming to his own at left tackle. Frank Ragnow is as good as any center in the league. But they just can never open up enough holes. It's a good pass-blocking offensive line, but a very average run-blocking offensive line.
Speaking of Stafford, you know, in my opinion, I've always thought that Matt Stafford has always been one of the most underrated quarterbacks ever since he came to you guys in 2009. How has he looked so far this season? And do you believe the Lions will consider trading him this upcoming offseason, especially since he was a guy who had his name floating around in trade rumors prior to the deadline?
You know, it's a good question. I think the Ford family that has owned this team love him. They love him. They view him like almost like a son. You know, his wife had their fourth child this year, and Mrs. Ford, the previous owner, who's still alive, she's over there holding the baby, and there were pictures of that on Instagram. So unless Matthew and Kelly, his wife, go to the Ford family in the offseason and say, get us out of here, I don't see it. It is possible. You never know. But he's been locked in here for 12 years. He hasn't had a great year this year at all. He's been a little bit banged up now. He's got a thumb injury. But again, not getting a lot of help. With Galladay out, TJ Hockenson's a solid tight end. Pretty darn good, actually. Marvin Jones is fine at the other receiver spot. But they lack guys that really can get off the line of scrimmage and run by people. And that forces this offense to be very bland, very vanilla, very check downish. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they're definitely going to get rid of Stafford. They had an opportunity this offseason to trade him and to draft Tua or to draft Justin Herbert, and they didn't do it. And that was a huge mistake, because those two guys can play, and it would have started and jump-started a much-needed rebuild here. Instead, they stuck with Stafford, and now they're in no man's land again at 4-6.
Matt, last question before getting out of here. What has been the most frustrating part about watching the Lions on defense this season?
They just don't get any better. And look, their head coach was brought in 3 years ago, Matt Patricia, to help the defense, to make it better. His first year, they were 10th in the league. They weren't bad. But since, 24th and then 31st, and then, this year they're in the bottom half again. They can't stop anybody. The linebackers, not named Jamie Collins, is a really bad group. The defensive backs, not named Daron Harmon, have struggled, although Amani Oruwariye, their cornerback, second-year cornerback, he's actually outplayed Desmond Trufant and their first-round pick this year, Jeffrey Okuda. Not getting enough pressure on the quarterback at all, just one sack last week. So it's a combination of a lot of things. Some of it's talent. A lot of it is scheme. I don't think they're doing the right things defensively. Too much rush three and drop eight. They don't take the ball away enough. There's just not enough playmakers out there. There's not that safety or that viper or that linebacker that just is flying around the football. And some of that's on Bob Quinn and a lot of that's on Matt Patricia.
So what is your prediction? Texans, Lions, the very first game on Thanksgiving Day. Who you have coming away victorious in a win?
I don't see Detroit winning. I don't. I see Deshaun Watson having a big day, picking apart the team, putting it on his legs to grind out some yards too. I think the Lions are in a free fall right now, and if Swift and Galladay don't play, I think Houston will win. What about you?
Matt, I know you're on the outside looking in. We have Deshaun Watson, and I'm pretty sure you're saying to yourself, this team is nowhere near as bad as their record. And it's a little bit true. But to be honest with you, I don't know. I would not be surprised if the Texans go into Detroit and lay an egg. I would not be surprised. It has been that type of a season. However, as they say sometimes in sports, when you have the best player rather on the court, on the field, or wherever you at, that improves your chances of winning. So I guess I would have to go with the Houston Texans, but I'm not that much of a believer. I'm going to say Texans 30, Lions 27. I wouldn't be surprised if that score actually flipped by the end of Thursday's game.
There he is, Cody Davis, Matt Derry, Locked On Lions, Locked On Texans. It's the crossover. Thanks, Cody.
Yes, sir.